since you're on the parent kick tonight,
yes,
I want you to know, I want you to tell me if this makes you a toxic parent.
Okay.
So is this bad? No, bad parent for doing this, or is it your right to do these things? And number one, sneaking into your kid's room to read their diary.
It's funny you would say that because my mom used to do that. And, you know, it's so weird. I don't keep a journal now, but for some reason as a kid, like, kids always keep diaries. But what do they write in there? They write, I mean, it's, I have a crush on Joseph. Joseph looked at me today in the hallway. I think he texted me. I think he likes me. You know, it's not like the kids in there writing nuclear codes, you know, that you're going to go in there and be like, oh my God, my daughter's a spy for the CIA.
Mm-hmm.
It just, it seems like a real invasion of privacy if your kid is super young. You know, if you think your kid is doing drugs or there's something going on, you sit your kid down, you say, hey, bitch, before I sneak in and read your diary, what the hell's going on? You have a conversation with your kid. I think it's a huge invasion of privacy. So I don't think it makes you a bad parent. I think it makes you a scared parent.
Number two, agreeing to buy your teenager a phone on the condition that you have access to all their texts, photos, and apps.
What's your thought on that?
I've never been for that. I think the kids have got to grow up at some point. So I think there has to be some parts of their life that's their own.
Yeah.
But it's your job to keep them safe. That's the bad thing. But I just, if my parents went through my phone, I would have lost my shit.
I think if you had girls, you might feel differently. You have boys, so you're probably like, here's a phone, have at it. Watch all the porn you want. I think if you had girls, you might feel differently about it.
So if you had a girl, would that be a condition for you?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, if I had girls, if I had daughters or a daughter, sure.
Your daughter would hate you so bad.
My daughter would hate me so much, but I wouldn't care.
You're still alive. Hate me right. All you want. You're not dead.
Yep.
Telling your kids, number three, to hug their relatives at the holidays.
Oh, I hated that. Oh, that was awful. Especially like with your relatives that really smell. I hated like hugging the smelly ones.
I have an uncle I just can't stand. Nobody can stand him. And he smelled and he always smoked and it was, I don't want to hug him. No.
But here's the dumb thing. You think that I want to be hugged by your kid? You know what I mean? So if I have friends or relatives come over and they bring kids, hug Auntie Cooper. No, it's okay. You don't got to hug me. I'm good. I'll stand here. You stand there. We'll just fist bump.
Yeah. Thank you, COVID.
Well, that's true too. But I'm just saying, like, the idea that you think that a relative wants a hug from your child.
Yeah. Your grandma wants a hug. That's it.
That's it. Yeah. It stops at grandma.
Grandpa doesn't even want a hug.
Grandpa doesn't want a hug either.
No, nope. He wants you to go away.
Don't touch grandpa.
Number four, not allowing your child on social media like TikTok, Instagram, and Snapchat.
Well, how old is the kid?
They say anything under 16, they can't.
That's tough. Okay, that's another one. The answer is it depends. It depends. Does my kid go to a school where there's bullies? Does my kid go to a school where there's like rich kids and we're not rich? Does my kid have friends that I trust? Because there's all this research that shows that kids on social media are more likely to be depressed and they see their friends doing stuff and they've been left out and it's more negative. It makes them more depressed. It makes them more likely to commit suicide, all this kind of stuff. So I think you have to have a certain amount of trust. If you say to your kid, I'm not letting you on Instagram, they're going to start a Finsta page anyway. So you can't, you'll have no control over that. I think just, again, having a conversation with your kid, do all the social media stuff you want, but just know that when you're feeling crappy in your life, your friends feel crappy too, even though you see pictures and look like they're having a great time and everyone's happy and look at my cute new bag. No, they have terrible days too. You're just not going to see it on social media. So I think another situation where if you have a conversation with your kid, I think you could trust them on social media.
Number five, and I've always been against this, signing up your kids for activities when they're not naturally interested in them.
How come you're against it?
Like sports, art, dance, theater, etc. Because, okay, the two parents in my kid's life have zero sports abilities. Zero okay. abilities to hit a ball. Zero art. We suck. Dance, theater, sports. There's no way my kid is going to be a football star. Not going to happen. Mm-hmm. Not in their genes. We signed them up for karate. We signed them up for baseball. It was embarrassing. We signed them up, I mean, because we have no sporting ability at all.
Well, again, I think it depends. If your kid wants to go to college, is it your kids? Your kids, did they even graduate high school?
Yes.
The rest of us who want our kids to go to college, you have to have all those extracurriculars on your resume to get into a good school. So you got to do something, whether it's volunteering down at the local whatever, you know, soup kitchen mm-hmm. or I don't know. Like
I'm talking like 10-year-olds. I'm talking 10-year-olds that parents put them in Cub Scouts. There's no reason why that kid should be in Cub Scouts.
Trust me, here in New York, that stuff starts early. You need extracurriculars when you're 10 years old. If you're not into sports, then you need to be in like art or dance or theater or something. You got to do something. A reading club. You got to do something.
No, you just need a parent with a good Photoshop ability and you can put them in a rowing class.
That's a good point. Oh, yeah, that's right. Isn't that what happened with Lori Loughlin? Right.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Exactly, so all you have to do is if they're good at Photoshop, that's better than if
Photoshop
they can
them right on that baseball field.
If they can hit a free throw. Number six, I agree with. I think we need to stop it as a society. Stop it as parents. Forcing your kid to eat everything on their plate before they can leave the table.
That's the worst. What you're training your child to do is to have an unhealthy relationship with food.
Yep.
So that when your kid gets older, like my mother's always like, oh, you put on weight. I was like, yeah, you know why? Because when I was a little girl, you made me eat everything on my plate when I wasn't hungry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you shamed me if I wanted ice cream instead of an apple. So yeah, that's why I have eating issues as an adult. Thank you, Mom.
Yeah, and kids eventually will eat. So they can tell you, I'm not hungry. But at 10 o'clock at night, they're going to be hungry. So
yeah.
They'll eat eventually. Don't force them to sit there
right.
and eat broccoli. Nothing good is going to come of it.
I agree. They'll make them hate broccoli.
Yeah, I agree with this. Punishing your kid if they come home with a bad report card.
Yeah, that's, I think punishment for that is not helpful. I think if your kid comes home with a bad report card, you should figure out what subjects they don't understand and help them, tutor them. There's always a tutor at school. Get on YouTube. There's free tutors. There's a lot of things you can do to help your kid get better in their grades, but punishing them doesn't do anything.
No, you have to put the fear of God in them so they don't bring home a bad... That's the only reason why they get a good report card is because they fear the belt. So... If you bring home a D, I'm smacking you. If you bring home a B, I'll be nice to you. So you should put the fear of God in them for grades.
Well, you said don't punish them.
No,
oh, you say punish them for grades.
Punish them, yeah.
Oh, you say yes, but I say don't punish them. And then because all you're teaching your child is to how to change their grade on their report card.
Well, I punished my kids because if you get an F in a course, it's because you didn't talk your way into a D.
Right.
If you're good enough, you can talk that teacher into a D. And if you put the fear of God in them, they will not bring home enough. They will do anything they can to get that up to a D.
Okay, my kid, if they came home with a D and I punished them, like you're saying, they would just find a friend who's really good at hacking that mm-hmm. would hack into the school and put B's down where the D's were.
Oh, all my, because back in our day, we had E, which was
E?
E was bad. E was like F minus.
Oh.
But an E, you could turn into a B really easy.
Oh, of course. Sure.
It's a, no, it's all B's. Look at that. But yeah, you're going to get it if you can't talk that teacher into a, at least passing you.
What else is on the list?
Poking fun at your kids from time to time.
I think that's healthy. I think teaching your kids that, you know, you could, I think poking fun at your kids is fine.
Yeah. Roast your kids the minute they're born.
Yeah. Don't bully them, but, you know, have a good time. Like,
yeah, bully
that's
them.
Stupid. Anyone who says that that's bad parenting.
Yeah.
Yeah. You shouldn't walk on eggshells around your own children. That's weird.
Comparing your kids to each other in terms of their accomplishments and failures.
Yeah, that's terrible. That's why it's great being an only child. Nobody ever said to me, well, your sister, ha ha, no sister.
Yeah, my stupid brother would always get A's. Stupid brother.
Mm.
Yeah, and I never brought home A's. Number 10, forbidding your kids from eating junk food.
Funny you would say that because we just had Halloween, as you know. The rest of us just had Halloween. You have Halloween still every day in your house.
Oh, yeah,
so
two pumpkins in here right now.
Of course. So not you,
three.
But the rest of
three.
Us here in the United States had Halloween about a month ago or so. And I saw all these studies and all these experts who came forward, nutritionists who came forward and said, listen, let your kids have candy once in a while. You know, let them have some candy because you don't want to teach them to... who stopped that with the pumpkin, please? I see you with pumpkins. I'm well aware. Why are you showing me pumpkins?
Isn't that a cool pumpkin, though?
That's a very cool pumpkin with a very scary face.
Okay. I'll keep them in here.
Yeah.
Sorry. You
that's
said
okay.
Pumpkin.
I forgot what I was saying.
All right. Number 11, venting about your personal problems, like your work, your friendships, your marriage, your financial situation, to your kids.
I think that's definitely weird. Once your kid is an adult, it's a little bit different. Even as an adult, I don't think you should share that stuff. But yeah, I mean, I have seen people discuss that with like their four-year-olds.
Yeah, because the problem we have here is my wife will say, if we're out of money that week, we're poor. So they tell the kids, no, we're poor. We're not poor. You know, then the kids is scared to death, think we're going to live on the street.
Mm-hmm.
So I hate that when you bring that up to a kid.
Yeah, that's the problem. I mean, I realize that there are some parents out there that feel like they have nobody they can talk to. But when you tell that to a kid, the kid doesn't really understand what you're saying because the kid's a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to go worst case scenario. They're going to think that their world is not okay. They're going to think that, you know, that's why kids end up with anxiety, because they feel like you've told them that things are not okay in their world, but they don't really understand what is and what isn't okay. They don't grasp the concept yet.
Yeah, we're poor. No, we're not poor.
Yeah, right.